Let us turn then to Psalm 115, and let us consider verse 15, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Psalm 115, and at verse 15. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Quite a bit of this psalm is taken up with false gods, but they are the work of men's hands, as you see at verse 4. And they are mouths, but they cannot speak, eyes, but they cannot see, and so on. They're not gods. They can do nothing. They're powerless. And then there is this, the Shabbat, in or at least in the corresponding part where we were singing. That's what I'm thinking of. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done what he hath pleased. You see, our God, the God who is really, our God is the Lord, Jehovah. And perhaps we should ask ourselves just now, who is our God? Can we say our God is in the heavens and he is able to do whatever he pleases? He is the one who made heaven and earth, as that is mentioned in our text. What God is being spoken out? Who are we getting a blessing from, or thinking we are getting a blessing from, or looking to that we might get a blessing? Who is it? It's the God who made everything. And we may realize that so much of the truth concerning that has in a sense been cut away by the way that people think today. And no doubt Satan is behind that. So that people might not think of God. Evolution has taken over as the philosophy of the generation, or at least one aspect of it, and a very important aspect. If things just happened, well, what does anything matter? What do we matter? We might matter to ourselves, no doubt. But you see, what real consequence have human beings if there is no God? No doubt that kind of thinking lies behind the moves to allow assisted dying. People just happened to come into existence. So they say. Perhaps I wouldn't quite put it like that, but that's what it amounts to. And therefore it doesn't matter if somebody ends their lives at some time before they should do. It would matter if there is a God. And there is a God. And therefore it matters. It matters. It matters when we die. That's what God has in his control. And it's a very serious thing when somebody takes a gun or a knife and takes away somebody's life. People realize that to some extent, that it's a terrible thing to take away somebody's life, certainly somebody young. But, you see, there are things that we are to leave to the control of God. And that's true of death. And again, the fact that everything is under God's control should be a great comfort to us. Particularly when trouble comes, when somebody close is taken away into eternity. If it was just some random event over which no being had any control, we'd leave one with a kind of perplexity. What does that mean? What significance does it have? When you say, if it's someone taken away into eternity, because that is God's purpose and God, and that God is behind it. Well, if we can understand these things at all, then there's a comfort in that, however difficult it might be, to lose someone that we love, someone that has great significance in our lives. Yes. A great comfort. A great comfort in these circumstances. To be able to go to the throne of grace and pour out our hearts before God. Well, you see, ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That's what we have here. That there's such a thing as being blessed by the one who created all things, the one who is keeping all things under his control. Yes. Keeping all things under his control. Who is able to bless and who is able to take away a blessing. Who is able to bless. That's what we have here. And if we are looking for a blessing, and I'm sure everybody is pretty well, looking for a blessing. But in most cases, people are going to the wrong source of blessing. To the wrong source of blessing. Look into the world. Look into the things of the world. Look into false religion. But you see, ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now I have 3 points here. If the Lord would be pleased to bless us and consider in them. 3 main points. The first is, who are being spoken to here? Who are the blessed ones? Who are blessed in this world of sin and sorrow and difficulty? Second, what is blessing? What is it? And thirdly, I wish to speak of God's unlimited power to bless. God's unlimited power, and that arises from what is said, that this is the Lord, this is Jehovah, which made heaven and earth. Jehovah, who made heaven and earth, he did so with his infinite power. And he is able to bless through his infinite power. That's his mercy, his love, his wisdom involved in it as well. But the point that is drawn to our attention here is the matter of his power. Yes. First, who are blessed? Second, what is it to be blessed? Third, God's unlimited power to bless, because he is the one who made heaven and earth. First then, who are we speaking about? And more importantly, who is this psalm speaking to? Who is God speaking to in this psalm? It's not just one of the psalmists. He is unnamed, but he's speaking as the mouthpiece of God. God has given him authority to speak, and God is leading his mind on as he speaks, as he thinks, and as he speaks. Who are they? Well, we might go back to verse 11, where they are addressed as those that fear the Lord. Those that fear the Lord, they are to trust in him. He is their help and their shield, and so on. What is it to fear God? Well, it's a very important expression. It's a very important thing that is described as the fear of God. Of course, it's not the terror of God. It's not being terrified of God. Those who are terrified of God haven't had a blessing. I suppose there might be in fits of unbelief, perhaps exacerbated by depression. But you see, those who have the fear of God in their hearts have a respect for him. And they have a respect for his commandments, and they do not want to offend God. You see, if people are friends, real friends, especially say a husband and a wife, they don't want to offend their spouse. They don't want to offend a friend. Yes. They would be frightened to offend them. Not particularly because of the consequences, as far as bringing a division between them or provoking the other person to anger. Well, the other person might have, as we say, a short fuse, but still, supposing the other person was as placid could be, still, if that person was hurt, felt hurt at the way the friend was behaving or a spouse was behaving, you don't want that. Now that's what I'm saying by way of illustration. Take that over to one's relationship with God. If we have any love to God, and perhaps this might be an indication of love to God, you don't want to hurt God. And I use that with a degree of hesitation, because I'm taking the picture over into our relationship with God. What would correspond to hurting a fellow being? Not physically, I don't mean that, but hurting them so they feel hurt. They feel that something unpleasant has been said. What they feel pained by. Now, take what corresponds to that into the reactions of God. How does he feel? Perhaps you could put it in these terms. You certainly can. The thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Now, there were consequences for David in that displeasure. That's not what I'm getting at. But that the Lord felt displeased. The one who had been raised up so high from a very low standing in Israel. The one who had been raised up so high spiritually. And he acts like this. His lusts are let loose, as it were. He isn't acting in the fear of God. Well, the point just now is, these are people who are blessed. They have the blessing of God, that is, those who fear God. And you see, you have what is said about Abraham. Blessed be Abraham, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. That the Most High God, who has ownership of the whole universe, he had blessed Abraham. What a great matter that was. He had blessed Abraham with faith. By faith Abraham, we read in Hebrews 11, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He went out. God called him, and he obeyed. God put his fear in Abram's heart, and he obeyed. Abram wasn't perfect. That's not what we're saying. But, you see, he had God's blessing. And God's blessing followed him everywhere. God blessed. It was the blessing of the one who had supreme power. He could bless Abram. And he is blessing all his children here. And those who are not his children, well, let them think of this. I need God's blessing. I need God's blessing to get through this world. There's that difficult matter in my life next week, as I understand things. There's that difficult matter, and I need God's blessing. Yes, whatever it is. And there's that great matter of believing, sorry, there's that great matter of entering into eternity. I need God's blessing. The time will come to die. You recognize that. But do you pay enough attention to it? Do you take it seriously enough? Do these things take you to the throne of grace? You see, by faith Abram, when he was called to go out, he went out. Yes. Now that you're going out, in the experience of all who are blessed, you see, that bringing out of out of the Chaldees, out of the place where sin was rife and idolatry was rife, that was a great blessing. It was the beginning of blessings for Abraham. The appearance of God to Abraham was the beginning of blessings. Yes. And if you are a child of God, that appearance of God to you, and not meaning a vision, that was in for biblical times, before the Bible was complete. But you see, there's a call to come out, addressed to everyone. Everyone who is under the gospel, I mean. that are called to come out. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. And I, blessing, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. There's blessing. And that are coming out towards that blessing, are coming out from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that we might inherit a blessing. I'm not quoting any longer. I'm just adding to it. That we might inherit a blessing. Now you see the call that comes to sinners. In such words as these, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's a call to come out. To come out of the kingdom of Satan. To come away from the world. To set out on the way to heaven. Abram set out by faith on the way to the promised land. Abram set out by faith. And there's people here, and they have set out for heaven by faith. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What have they seen? Well, with the eyes of their soul, they saw Christ in the Word. Christ is a Savior. They were brought to see something of their sin and the seriousness of their sin. And that sin unpardoned and sin unremoved would keep them out of heaven. They were under the wrath and curse of God. They needed to come out. Yes. That's a blessing. A great blessing. It's a blessing for a sinner to be given some sense of sin. A blessing. To be given some sense of sin. Now that might not be something welcome. And they would be made uncomfortable in their ways. Going on in this world, taking enjoyment from the things of this world. And it's made sin to them. But it's a blessing if it goes on to laying hold of Christ. If it goes on to a laying hold of Christ. See, we're not to stay under sin. Stay where we are. In the place of condemnation. Some people might say, I need to be more convinced of sin. That's not a judgment that we are to make. That's God's judgment. That's what God is to judge. Our duty is to come to Christ. Yes, it's our duty to acknowledge our sin and to repent. But the great matter is to come away from our unbelief, to come out of our situation of unbelief, to set out on the way to heaven, to look to Christ, to trust in Him as the one who gave His life a ransom for many. Yes. And those who have come out, those who have looked to Christ, they are blessed. Those who are in the kingdom of God, they've received a great blessing. They'll be looking for more. So they should. But you see, especially those who are still condemned, those who are still on the way to a lost eternity, they need a blessing, the blessing that only God can give, that only God can give. Yes. the one who made heaven and earth, the one who is infinitely powerful. And what power is needed to bring a sinner out of darkness into light, to bring a sinner out from under the power of unbelief? What power is needed? The power of the Holy Spirit to apply the truth. You see, a sinner that may have been coming to church for any number of years and has got had no good from the preaching, from reading the word, still in unbelief, still rejecting Christ. Power is needed. Divine power is needed. One cannot force ourselves into the kingdom of God. We need to be brought out. We need the call of the gospel. Come unto me, Christ. Say to us, come unto me. Now, is it not a wonderful thing that Christ is coming to us where we are, and he is saying, come unto me? We might think of Christ as it were saying to us, I got infinite blessings. You see, people may be tempted. Somebody comes to them and says, come with me tonight. And you might think in your mind, is that not sin? But the other person makes it attract. He draws your mind. He's saying, this will be great. He's making out that it will be a blessing for you, when it's no blessing at all. No blessing at all. Rather damaging. But you see, his words may have power. Human power. Human influence. The influence of one person on another. But what we need is the word of God to come with power to our souls, so that we would realize that that is the way of death. That is the way to a lost eternity. What one is being tempted. Ah, yes. And what we need too is that we would turn. That we would turn to the ways of righteousness. That we would turn to the ways of righteousness. And we need to be drawn. We need the drawing power of the Holy Spirit to bring us out of Satan's kingdom, where sin is enjoyable. And yet, what follows? Death. Yes. What follows? An unsatisfied feeling. One may have been taken up with the things of the world for long enough. Or at least at times. But there's nothing left when it is gone. Yes. No blessing from it. But we need to be delivered. Not only from the wrath to come, but delivered from the power of sin. And that's infinite power. What we need is the power of the one who made heaven and earth. The one who made the whole universe and did it in his wisdom, did it perfectly. Though somehow sin got in. Yes, but what a blessing to be delivered from sin. What a blessing to be given the fear of God. What a blessing to be made one of God's children, a child of God. But let us notice that this blessing has its roots in an eternity past, speaking after the manner of men. Yes, that, as Paul puts it to the Ephesians, and we were trying to speak of this some few weeks ago, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he hath blessed us. He's speaking as a child of God, is Paul, and speaking in behalf of children of God in Ephesus. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, that we should be holy. There's a blessing, to be made holy, to be made blameless. There's a blessing, to have one's sins forgiven, and no blame being attached to it, so that when that work of grace in the soul, that work of blessing, so that when it is completed, those who are blessed in this way will be able to go straight into heaven. No further punishment, as that is imagined concerning what is referred to as purgatory. To finish off the work of God, as it were, that is incomplete in this world. Well, it is completed. It will be completed. The final completion is at the point of death. And then the souls of believers shall at their death made perfect in holiness, and do immediately pass into glory. Yes, though their bodies are left to lie in the grave, at least that's how it should be. It's God's direction. The example we have in Scripture, well, who are the blessed ones then? Those that were chosen by God from all eternity. But we can't see that choice. We can't ascend into heaven to look into the book of God's election. We can't. Why does God set that before us then? Is there some use to know about election? Well, Peter tells us to make our calling and our election sure. There's two things there. Our calling and our election. And one proves the other. Let me just turn up 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Or 1:4, in fact. Knowing therefore, beloved, your election of God. How did Paul know that there were people in Thessalonica who had been elected, who had been chosen by God from all eternity, chosen that they might go to heaven? How was that? How did he know? It was because our gospel, he says, came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men ye were among you for your sake. It was the effect of the gospel. The gospel as used to call these sinners to God through Christ. That great blessing That outward blessing, though there's an inward corresponding blessing. What could Paul see? What could Silas and Timothy see that associated with him in writing the letter to the Thessalonians? Two letters, in fact, but I'm quoting from the first one. And Paul and his brother apostles could see things. He could see the blessing of God in these people's lives, the blessing of holiness, the blessing of pressing on towards heaven. He could see these things. They weren't turning back. They had a love for the gospel, a love for God, a love for Jesus Christ, a love for the work of the Holy Spirit. Blessings, you see. There were all these blessings. Yes. They were brought out, you see. They were given faith, and they came out from the idolatry of their city, the idolatry of their people. They came away from the sins, the particular sins of the Thessalonians. Yes. What a change. And however conformed outwardly people might be today, there's this work of the Holy Spirit making people willing to come out from the world and to be separate. To be separate. What people must and do think of as something dreadful. Perhaps someone being dealt with in some slight way, one might say. And they have some degree of conviction that they should forsake sin. Some degree of conviction that they really must turn to the Lord. That they really must seek salvation. But this idea of separation, separation from these people whose company I so much enjoy, these people and these pleasures. No, the Lord is saying, you must come out. And what is needed if sinners are to come out? Well, there's this. They must be made willing. They must have the work of the Holy Spirit done in the soul. They must have that blessing. Yes, and it is a blessing. Somebody's rebelling. And they're saying, I don't want that. At least I don't want it yet. I want to keep on with my sin. I want to keep on with my worldly pleasures. I want to keep on with my worldly companions. Perhaps like others, it's a case of not yet. Even although they tremble, like Felix did, it was a case of not yet. There would be some convenient season in the indefinite future, and they would see about these things. What's God's time for these things? It's now. Now. Not at some vague time in the future. But when Paul or Silas or Timothy may have been asking, is this person, has this person had a blessing on their soul? Well, their mind might have gone back to the Beatitudes. And they may have started with this, blessed are the poor in spirit. There's an answer to the question, who are blessed? They are poor in spirit. There are those who are very rich in their spirits. and speaking according to their view of things. There was that fallacy, of course. And he was saying that pretty well, he had no need of anything. He wasn't like that publican. He's a sinner. I'm not. Yes. I give tithes. I fast 3 times in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I have need of nothing very much. All is well. Yes. And there was the other man. And he was the one that was blessed. He was the one that went down to his house justified. God be merciful to me, a sinner. He had a blessing in his soul. He was saying, there's sin in my soul. And if there was grace in the soul, and surely there was at that stage anyway, when he was leaning on Christ, and this grace was entering into his soul. Yes, and in need of everything. He was poor. He was poor in spirit. He had need of everything. That God would give him everything he needed. He couldn't earn it himself. But there's a blessed man. He's in heaven now. And there are people in this world and people in this building. And they are poor in spirit. How are they going to get to heaven? Oh, it's the Lord that must take me there. The Holy Spirit must work in my soul. The Holy Spirit must go on working my soul. Poor in spirit. Blessed. And will be blessed, you see. The Lord hath been mindful of us, verse 12. He will bless us. See, it's as if it was an extract from the covenant of grace. The person has been blessed. It's not his own. It's not his own power. It's not from himself. It's not for the sake of what he has done. But he has been blessed. And he will be blessed. Or you could take the beginning of the first psalm and read, blessed is the man. Who is the man? Well, listen. It's the man that walks, that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, according to the advice of the ungodly. According to the temptations of the ungodly. He is the man, this blessed man, that does not stand in the way of sinners. Open sinners. He's not going to stand there. He's going to try and hide from this, if that's possible, in his circumstances. Yes. But he's not going to be in their company for any time unnecessarily. And then there's this. He does not sit down with the scorners. The scornful. Those who mock the ways of God. Those who mock the blessing of God. That's not his people. It's the Lord's people he wants to have as his companions. Yes. He may not be feeling like them. He may not feel he has the spots of God's children, or we might say the evidences or the marks of God's children. But let him search a little deeper. Let him go to the first epistle of John, for instance, where we are told that it is a mark of grace to love the Lord's people. Yes. Who are your people, or at least, who are the people that you would want to be yours? Who are the people that you would want to have in your camp are to be in their camp. Is it the people of God? Are you not one of them yourself? Yes. Are you not blessed? Have you not been blessed? That's what we've been told. And then you see, the psalmist goes on, but he's not these things. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Yes. And it would be good if we were meditating more in the things of God. But just very briefly just now, and I will try to return to this in the evening, but the blessing, and perhaps I've given an answer to that already, but salvation is the great blessing. What's your desire? And where does your desire go to? Is it to God for the great blessing I'm going to refer to is the blessing of salvation? Abram went out of a city of idolatry where there was no possibility of finding salvation. I mean in the idolatry. But the Lord found Abram there. And he gave him faith, and he gave him the willingness to go out. He gave him these blessings, and all the blessings of salvation, all that we need for eternity. Yes, all that we need. It's in the Lord, for the sake of Christ, and applied to us by the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's the blessing, the whole work of God, in bringing sinners out of darkness and blessing them through their time in this world. Yes. We've mentioned God as the possessor of heaven and earth, and therefore he can bless his people with all that they need. He is the possessor of all things. And therefore he can give his children all that they need in this world, for body and for soul, and he will give them complete blessedness as to their souls in heaven when they go there and after the resurrection. And that's a blessing for the people of God, to be restored, to have their body restored to them. And then in the third place, God has unlimited power to bless. Now I've been stressing that as I go along. In terms of the power that brings a sinner out of darkness into God's marvelous light, the power, the infinite power that is needed. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Of course, there was an infinite divine power of the Savior. He came into this world as the possessor of infinite power, as apparently a helpless child in the manger. He was the possessor of heaven and earth. He had infinite power. Of course, we're talking about the one person and the two natures. The divine nature, by virtue of which he was possessor of heaven and earth. And the human nature, by virtue of which he was so helpless in the manger. But you see, through that unlimited power, as he grew up, and particularly when he went out, to preach publicly, to bless people with health and strength again. Of course, that was not necessarily accompanied with spiritual power. Though those who got blessings for their bodies should have looked for spiritual blessings also. The one who can do these things, they should have concluded. The one who can give the blind their sight. The one who can raise the bowed down. He can bless me in my soul. And as you read of the miracles, draw that conclusion. He can bless me in my soul. What a great matter to have a blessing in one's soul. Yes. No limit. No limit to what you can ask for in this world, child of God. Oh, no limit to what the ungodly can ask for. But they're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's true for the Lord's children too. But you see, what I'm getting at is this. That great work of salvation, which was far beyond our power, we should be asking for it. And seeking grace to look to Christ. We should be seeking to trust in Christ. Oh, it needs divine power. It needs infinite power. It needs the power of the one who made heaven and earth. Yes. And we're to be asking for it. And the Lord is able to give it. The Lord doth give the blind their sight. The bowed down doth raise. Now you can apply that to the miracles of Christ in this world. But I want particularly to apply it to the ongoing miracle of saving grace, which is only possible because the one who saves is the one who made heaven and earth. In other words, he is the one that made all things. He is the one who is able to bless sinners who are hardened in sin, but he is able. And may we hear him calling to us, Christ calling to us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, bless us. Take each of us under thine own loving care. May we experience thy blessing. May we be so wrought upon that we would fear thee, that we would have that holy respect for thee and thy commandments that thou dost give to thy children. Put us among the children in thy great mercy. Prepare us for eternity. Make us holy. Wash away our sin. Do us good. Remember those who are in trouble, those who are unwell. Grant them healing in thy great mercy. Bless the means that are used to that end. And may we be looking to thee and seeking that the means that have been provided for the health of our souls would be blessed to us, and that we would be altogether blessed through Christ Jesus. Be with us now, make us thankful. Bless thy word. May we not forget it. May we be seeking thy blessing now and always. For Jesus' sake, amen.